Do you know that God has a great plan for your life? And do you know that He has made provisions for all that you need to fulfill His ordained plans for you? Join us as we journey into God's Word to discover and maximize our God-given destinies. Get set for radical transformation as we listen to the lead pastor, Destiny Impact Church, Pastor Demola Awoyeli, in this life-changing message. Your life will never remain the same again, in Jesus' name. God bless you.
And having fun ever since we began, can we appreciate the Lord for the blessing so far? Can we ask that the Lord will speak to us again in this meeting? Our lives will not remain the same. In Jesus' name we pray. I feel like we should sing a song, Oh, the Neighbor. Choir, come and help me. I love you. I need you. Something like that. We all are part of God's body. Me. Agree with me. Look into the eyes of that neighbor. It's not a worship song, okay? Daddy, it is His way that every needs
be supplied. You are reborn.
Look into that person's eyes. I need it to survive. You are important to me. I need you to. Let's go again. I need you.
You pray for me.
I love you. If your neighbor is closing his eyes, give that neighbor a jab. Say, don't close your eyes. With all words from my mouth, I love you. I need you to survive. It is His way that every need is supplied. You are important to me. Let's go over again for the last time and sing it with passion. Go again after this. Go again from the beginning and sing it with passion. I need you to survive. Won't harm you with words from my mouth. I love you. I need you to survive. It is His way that every need is supplied.
You are important
to me. Over again from the beginning. Not I pray for you. Start from the beginning. You need me. We all are part of God's body. Stand with me. Agree with me. We all are part of God's body. It is His will that every need be supplied. You are important to me.
I need you to.
Let's go over again. I love you. You need me. We all are part of God. If you have not taken a neighbor, take a neighbor and sing it passionately. We all are part of God's body. It is His will that every need be supplied. You are important to me. I need you to. I pray for you.
I pray for you.
You pray for me. I love you. I need you to survive. Won't harm you with words from my mouth. I love you. I need you to survive.
It is His will that every need be supplied. You are important to me. I need you to.
I pray for you.
I pray for you. You pray for me. I love you. I need you to survive. Won't harm you with words from my mouth. I love you. I need you to survive. It is His will that every need be supplied. You are important to me. I need you to survive.
Alright, I want you to hold one person and pray for that person. You know the prayer, Lord, heal every heart in the heart of this person. And Lord, pour grace upon the relationships of this person. That's the two prayers in one. Lord, heal every heart in the life of this person. And Lord, pour grace upon the relationship of this person. Whether he's engaged or not, whether he's married or not, whether he's not even planning to get engaged. You want to pray, Lord, heal every heart in the heart and mind of this person. Pour your grace upon the relationship of this person. Pour your grace upon the relationship of this person. I receive your wisdom all for this person in the name of Jesus. I receive your wisdom for this person in the name of Jesus. I receive your wisdom for this person in the name of Jesus. I receive your wisdom for this person in the name of Jesus. Thank you, our Father. We give you all the glory and all the praises. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. And Lord, this morning as we have declared, so shall it be. Speak to us this morning. Let our lives not remain the same. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Put your hands together as you have your seat. I want to share for 1 hour or less. I hope I should share for 1 hour. I've been so blessed by the interaction. How many of you have been blessed by the interaction? Please, let's celebrate Baby Tunde over there. Alright, because that's one of the names they call themselves. Okay, you are not celebrating him well. Alright, and is it Babe Tega now or Bay Tega? Alright, what does it mean of Bay? Is it Bay or Bay? Hallelujah. Somebody said Bay is beautiful, anointed, and excellent. Praise the Lord. Okay, am I speaking somebody's mind? Beautiful, anointed, and what? Alright, somebody say, Pastor, are you supposed to be speaking Bay on the altar? Alright, I won't go into that debate. Some people be think that, oh, why should you talk about Bay and all that? So, but it's important we learn to celebrate our partners. By the way, I celebrate my wife over there at the back. Alright, nobody sitting on the high table today. Praise God. Alright, I also sat at the back enjoying the discussion. I want to share with you 5 C's for successful relationship. How many of you are in a relationship here or you are married? Can I see your hand up? I would have loved that those who are married or in a relationship sit together. Alright, so I don't want to... Is this still possible? Is this still possible? Okay, let's rearrange. Alright, let's rearrange, yeah. Let's rearrange. Somebody, so, let's rearrange. Let's know who is who. So that we know who is available and who is not available. Praise God. Alright. You know, some people now, today we go know, say they are in a relationship. It's today we will know. Alright, okay, if you are in a relationship, stand with your partner. Very quickly. If you are in a relationship, stand with your partner. And the partner is here. Alright, stand with person, okay? Alright. Are you not sitting together? What's happening? What God has joined together, let no chair put asunder. Okay, she has sacrificed her seat. Thank you very much. Alright, who else? 1, 2, 3. Your partner is here in the spirit. Where is the partner? Hey, can you imagine? She didn't even know she is the partner. Ah, Holy Spirit. Ah, are you proposing to her now? Oh, imagine. No, there's no emergency partner. Some people want to borrow partner very quickly. Say, let's, you know, some people, they borrow them to Valentine outing 2 days ago. Or yesterday, they borrow them. I say, come and be my vow just for 24 hours. I pray for you, sister. May you not be that kind of sister. That your brother will borrow for 24 hours. All right. I don't know if he's trying to borrow her, but all right. And I like the fact that she was hesitant about it. All right. She hesitated. Some people will, because of, well, let me not allow people to laugh at her. Let me come and... I don't know if she will still join. She will still join her anyway, but I love the fact that she knew where she stood. Am I correct? How many of you ladies know where you stand in a relationship? All right. That's very good. If you are not engaged until you are engaged, we never can tell. Some things can come up even after now. Praise God. Can I have the other mic? I prefer that to this. That's why I gave it to them to bring for me. All right. So, while you are still standing, are there those who are in a relationship where your partner is not here? Can you be up standing? All right. You can stand up. All right. All right. All right. Some people are still saying, am I, should I stand up? Should I sit down? Am I sure? Am I not sure? All right. Okay. Okay. Some people just gave their life to Christ now. Can you imagine? Yeah, you can stand up. Okay, who is she?
Okay, Bumi. No, she's not a footer. She's not a footer.
Can we put a call through to her now? All right. Okay. Is she online now? She can be live with this. All right. You can tell them. Yes, she can join us on Facebook Live as I'm talking now, so that technology will bridge that gap, that geographical gap. You can tell him also. You have sat down again. You have changed your mind. can you imagine? Okay, you are still standing, or you are still by faith. Okay, on your feet. Okay. Who else again? I don't even need to be sweet to be trying to wind you to stand up. All right. Okay. Who among us proposed, or you are believing God for a sister? That not this sister, but not this sister. Okay, and you can stand up. She has not said yes. You are changing her. Can you imagine? She is not saying yes. She's she's 1923. Can you imagine? How many weeks now, or months, or years? 4 months, and she has not said yes. Why? So he's planning to change her. Who is available for him? Can you imagine? 4 months. Sisters, what's the problem? How can a brother propose for 4 months and you are still putting him on waiting list? Your own is, she has not said yes. So that's why you don't even want to stand up. 3 years. Wow. So what has been her excuse? Okay, you can sit down. Academics. That means you proposed too early or something. You proposed too early. She's still in school now. What level? 300. That means she was in part one then. Or maybe pre-degree. No, we are just trying to... Okay, so maybe she was thinking she still has academics to pursue or something like that. And you are a graduate at the moment. You are in what? Are you a graduate already? What level? So you are both in 300 level. So you proposed to her in 100 level. Okay. So would you have loved to not propose to her then? So you felt you are too early too. Okay. So that means she's not the problem really. Maybe both of you got it wrong in the timing or something. So what's the current status now? She's still asking you to wait till she finishes from school or something. Okay, you are just friends. That's good. All right. So some of you that are not standing, is it that God is not speaking, or you don't want God to speak? You are still trusting God. Okay. The Lord will come through for you. I said the Lord will come through for you. Some people are doing as if this thing no concern them, but the thing concern them the most. I know them, but I won't mention their name. They are doing as if, Pastor, go into your message. Not knowing that this one is the message for them. All right. So I want to share on 5 C's of successful relationships. Alright, you know, we said love is not enough. Am I correct? But let me quickly say that the love that I'm saying that is not enough is definitely not agape love. But I'm not going to talk about agape love today. So if you say love is not enough, then you are saying God is not enough. Because God is love. Am I correct? So agape has all the dimensions in it to make for a life of success. Alright? Whether in relationship, whether in career, whether in business or what have you. But the love that I am saying is not enough is what I call the emotional, what do you want to call it now? The emotional disturbances that people have as far as relationship is concerned. Alright, some will say, well, and I love him. The question is, do you really understand what that love really means? I love him for some people simply means, okay, I connect with him easily. Alright? I love him to some people means, wow, I like him. I like the way he talks. I like the way he dresses. Alright? I like his, the fact that he's driven. He's a driven person. He's passionate. He has something he's pursuing. So I just love him. I love the fact that he makes me smile. Do you understand? Alright? So that's what a lot of people mean by, wow, I love him. But in the context of our discussion, love is not enough. I was sharing on Wednesday in our church. I said, love can bring us together. But it is truth that will bind us together. And I think that God wants all of us to decipher between love and truth. Actually, true love, we have an element of truth in it. That's agape. But the love that a lot of people in our generation, you know, carries about is a love that is not founded on truth. There's nothing wrong in you being attracted to somebody. There's nothing wrong in you having an attraction, having something that is, alright, you just want to be with this person. But if what you are basing your relationship or marriage on is just the fact that we have chemistry. How many of you have heard the word chemistry before? That means we connect. Maybe that's the first C I want to talk about, alright, that you got to look at. Alright, I will be defining the five C's while helping you to clarify the first C that you call chemistry. Are you following me today? For example, in leadership, they talk to us about three C's. They talk to us about chemistry. They talk to us about character. They talk to us about competence. Maybe I'll add another one. They talk to us about capacity. Alright? So, they tell us that chemistry is important, and chemistry is very important. Being able to connect, that you see that person and butterflies start moving in your stomach, that is chemistry. Are you following me today? That you are able to hold the person and say, let's go out. Yesterday was Valentine's, let's go and enjoy ourselves. That's chemistry. But a lot of people base their relationship and marriage on chemistry alone. You know, I didn't say love is not important. I said love is not enough. I hope you get my point. So there are some other ingredients that you and I have got to add to love, which I have defined as chemistry. Now, I don't know if you get my point. So this love, I meant chemistry. So I didn't say love is not important. I didn't say, in fact, chemistry is very important. And that's why somebody said marry your friend or befriend your enemy. Sorry, did I say your enemy? Or befriend who you marry. Praise God. Marry your friend or befriend who you marry. So that means that there will be two kinds of relationship. Please write it down. There will be relationship based on we are friends. Alright? And that to me is the best. It's best you marry your friend. In fact, some of you are in some friendship with some people that it's just that you are not too sensitive enough to the Holy Spirit. There is a leading somewhere in that friendship. But you are like, we are just friends. Have you had people say that, how can I propose to him? We are just friends. We are just friends. I don't want this proposal to spoil our friendship. How many of you have said that before? That if I propose now, that friendship thing will no longer be there. So I would rather go and look for an enemy and propose to him or to her. Because that's what you are saying invariably. So the idea of proposing to your friend is part of it. So that's the relationship type one.
marry your friend. Relationship type 2 is in case the person that God is leading you to is not fundamentally your friend, then you have to befriend him or her. I will not suggest that you marry somebody who is not your friend. But not every relationship starts on a note of friendship. Are you following me today? Not every relationship starts on a note of friendship. But in case you have an inclination or conviction towards someone that is not your friend, you need to develop friendship. That is what it means that marry your friend or befriend who you marry. Are you following me today? So that's chemistry, that's love, but that is not enough. No, so I want to give you 5 keys that when you balance it with chemistry, which is another C, it will give you a very strong and thriving relationship. And the first C is conviction. Please write it down. The first C is what? No, I want us to say it well. The first C is what? Okay, who can tell me what do you understand by conviction? Maybe I should ask our brother. Maybe I needed to ask him, were you convinced or did you have an element of conviction? I'm talking to you, sir. In your relation, in the relationship you planned to start 3 years ago that didn't work out. What do you understand by conviction?
The act of actually imposing, you know, a kind of belief in another person. That is what conviction means.
Okay, that you believe in that person. Who else want to help us? Conviction? Okay, thank you. Please, can you... I need a mobile usher, alright? So that we can... I don't want to make this look like a preaching time, alright? We are here to interact. Alright, yes, conviction.
Sir. Conviction is more of the assurance you have that God wants you to be together with that person.
That's very good. Let's clap our hands for her also. It's the assurance that you have that God wants you to be together with that person. So I want to say that conviction begins with God. Am I correct? You know, it's possible for your body to be doing giz towards somebody. There's nothing wrong about that. If your body is not doing giz, something is wrong somewhere. It's possible that there's that chemistry, there's that reaction taking place in your body. But like she said, you want to be assured. Does God really want us to be together? So that's conviction. Conviction always begins with God. Because the idea of relationship actually began with God. Genesis 2 verse 18. Relationship was never a man's idea. Am I correct? The same thing for some of us who are married. People think that conviction is about, I'm convinced that she's the one to marry, so I want to go and propose to her. So after the proposal, wedding, marriage, so there's nothing like conviction again. The same conviction that started you out before proposal and during proposal, that is the same conviction that you continue with you in marriage. If I'm married and courtship and married, provides an avenue for your conviction to grow. So write it down in your note, conviction actually grows. In fact, for some of you that are in a relationship now, that you have been courting for 2 years plus now, your conviction now, after 2 years, should be stronger than what it was 2 months into your relationship. You know, some people don't measure their conviction level. Is it growing? And hear it from me today. If you're in a relationship and the conviction is going down, it's a warning signal. You know, you should marry at the highest tempo. If I may use that word. You should marry as if you cannot wait to marry. But watch out for that brother that you are the one reminding him, when are we going to marry now? Alright? Watch out, I'm telling you. Because I've heard stories of, alright, people that it was on their wedding day, the sister said or the brother said, I'm not doing it again. On the wedding day. So the question is, what is our conviction like? As far as that relationship is concerned. Hallelujah. So conviction is important. I know a lot of messages have gone on now that tells us it doesn't matter whether you are convinced or not. Once you like her, you will not always like her. Please write it down in your notes. You will not always I know you pray to always like her, but you will not always like her. I use the word like now, but you will always love her. Do you understand? Sometimes when you are fighting, you still love her. In fact, it's because you love her that's why you are fighting. Some people have been taught love that does not fight. Praise God. Any love that does not fight, when fight is needed, that love is fake. Did you get what I said? Any love that does not fight, when fight is needed, that love is fake. That this person is not doing what he ought to do, or this person is doing something wrong, and you love him or love her enough not to allow him to continue with that, that is love. But that, well, I love him, so I have to just keep managing him like that. You don't really love him, you hate him. Is somebody listening to me today? So a point comes that you don't like again. A point comes that you enter changing season. Season is changing. For those who are married, you remember when you were cutting out, or when you just newly married a very slim girl, maybe, praise God. Very slim, very, everything is cute. Like they told us in those days, when your wife is pregnant, or when some men's wives are pregnant, the like reduces. Particularly when everything is popping up. The face is swelling. The leg, some people's legs are so blessed that the leg to get pregnant. You understand what I'm trying to say? Everything, I'm not saying it's wrong, don't get me wrong, but I'm saying, yeah, the basis of your choice was the fact that, wow. So if you tell somebody I like you, you need to ask, what do you like about him? Is it things that is subject to change or things that cannot change? You know, some things are subject to change, am I correct? Faces are subject to change. Alright, are you following me today? Figures are subject to change. Status sometimes can change. So when next a brother says to you, I like you, ask him, what do you really like? When a sister says, oh, I don't marry, I like you, ask her, what do you like? I like the fact that you are a senator. I like the fact that by tomorrow, 14th of February, you become the governor of our state. What if, quarter to becoming governor, the thing slips off my hand? Will you still like me? I had a story of a woman that the husband was a senator, and when the electioneering year, the new season came, he wasn't re-elected. So once they announced that the husband was not re-elected, the woman started packing her bags to leave the house. And the husband asked her, what's happening, honey? Where are you traveling to? I'm not traveling anywhere. I'm actually divorcing. So why are you divorcing me? Say, I married a senator, but now you are no more a senator. Yeah, that looks so wild, but it happens. Say, I married a rich man, but now you're no more rich. I married a man that was swimming in money. Now we find it difficult to eat. I'm saying that because as spiritual as some of us appear to be, the subject of money can affect the strength of a marriage. If your marriage is based on money, some of you sisters, you ask yourself, when this guy came to propose, why did I say yes? Did I say yes because I have this assurance that he's an upwardly mobile guy? What of if he start becoming a downwardly mobile guy? God forbid. Will you see, say I do? Because some people have calculated. He has a car. Last time I checked, he has a good salary. I am not saying that is not important to consider, but I'm saying that must not be the basis of our saying yes. Are you following me today? So conviction simply means I'm borrowing our sister's statement, an assurance in your heart that God wants you to be together. So it begins with God. So in case your body is doing gizgiz towards somebody, or a thought ever flashes your heart about somebody, the first thing to do is to take it to God and say, God, what's happening? And please, when you go to God, be real. Because the reason why the subject of conviction is not interesting again is because pastors have made it look like one mystical something very, conviction simply means an assurance in my heart that God wants me to be together with this person. So take it to God. Say, God, this person, this is the way I'm feeling. Or this brother came to propose, left to me, I will say yes, because everything about him looks like what I wanted. Be real. Did you get what I said? And God begins to put an assurance. And the way God will put an assurance in your heart and in my heart will be different. The same way God will give us an assurance that we are supposed to be together will be different from person to person. Why? We are all different. God knows the level that we are at in our walk with Him. Do you understand? You know, we used to think that assurance or conviction is for those brothers who are hyper spiritual. Even the person that just got born again yesterday needs an assurance. But the way God will lead him is not the same way God will lead somebody who has. Do you understand? You know, some have a word for their relationship. Why some people will not have a word? They will just have an assurance. Amen. Say, Pastor, I thought you had taught us that you must always have a word. What do I mean by that is that not everybody is that God will say, my daughter, I am the one that brought him. No. There are some of you that why you just ponder over it. You just have a sense of God in your heart. You just have a check, a green light. You may not be able to lay your hand. It's as time goes on. As time goes on, the thing starts, okay, oh. But that basis of assurance must not be overlooked. Is that clear to somebody? Romans 8:14 is still very true for us. As many that are what? By the Spirit of God, these are the what? As many who are led by the Spirit of God, these are the what? Alright, so God can lead you to somebody. But the word, as many who are led by the Spirit of God, is complex. In the sense that God leads us in different ways. But to me, conviction is even beyond just being led. God can lead you, but you are not convinced. So you are saying, well, the reason why I'm saying yes is because God said I should say yes. That's why it's important you even say, God, you said I should say yes. If I have told people, ask God, why must I say yes to him? Because you should say yes to him, number one, because inside him, I've packed your future. There's something about you that is inside him. You should say yes to him because there is something, you know, God begins to tell you. So it is those explanations, if I may get it, that forms the basis of your conviction. And I want to side with sisters today that sometimes brothers propose and they are still gathering conviction. Are you following me today? Even though they have this initial, I think God is in it, but they still want to hold on. Gather conviction. The convictions are gathered based on information. God begins to give information. In fact, there are some times that God will give information that looks very physical. Some physical stuff. Alright? And God will say, yeah, that's why I've chosen him for you. And all that. So everyone that is to succeed in marital relationship should not downplay on conviction. Because the difference between couples that stay together and those who are apart now is the strength of their conviction. Conviction is what we all do stay and steady when everything is saying go your separate ways. It's very easy to cancel couples who are at the verge of divorce. Ask them, how did this start? Did you understand? Ask the two of them, how did this start? But I say, I was in the spirit on the Lord's day. And the Lord said, that's your wife. Okay. So the question is, are you still in the spirit? I'm not too sure I'm in the spirit. Because you left the spirit, you entered the flesh. So the flesh now is not looking like what the spirit looked like then. I don't know if you get my point. The question is now, has God changed his mind? Because divorce is based on the other factors that come up. Am I correct? We can't cope again. We don't connect. Alright? He has lost his job or he no longer cares. All those ones can be worked on. But the question is, did God lead you? Yes. Has God changed his mind? No. So what is the problem? Is the problem God? No. Is the problem us? Most likely. So how do we sort it out? But you know, when we talk about do we divorce or no, people don't go back to how it all started. So everybody will always visit how it all started. Is that clear to somebody? So once you are in a relationship like that, as I said, ascertain the conviction. Then number two, grow in conviction. But that's what you do mostly in courtship. Apart from the fact that you bond together, you plan the future, you grow in conviction. I used a statement just now that you should marry when you are at your best. in the relationship. There's nothing as sweet as that. Don't marry her when your conviction is being, you know, you can postpone marriage because there's your conviction is shaking. Some things has come up that is making you feel, am I really sure? And that's why some people now go to marry. Say, let's quickly marry. The reason why all this is nice is because we are not married. No. Let those things open up other things that needs to be opened up. Can I say today that any relationship or marriage that survives turbulence has the tendency to grow stronger. But the anchor that we all do together during turbulence is conviction. I'm still emphasizing that word. Do you understand? Any relationship or marriage that survives turbulence has tendency to grow what? Stronger. But the anchor that holds us steady and state during turbulence is conviction. Is that clear? Okay, let's do an interaction again. So, our brother, are you convinced? Supposed to be together? You have that assurance. I love assurance. Sister, you have assurance. There was a singer that talked about another assurance. How many of you remember that? Don't sing the song, but if you sing the song, I'll question whether you are born again. Say, assurance. Hey, there's assurance of a bright future. How would you have assurance? Okay, I'm not talking to you. I'm just, okay, do you have an assurance in your heart? All right. So, same, Abby. Do you have assurance? Okay, do you have assurance? Okay. Who else again? Somebody also raised, okay, sister, I'm talking to you, yeah, damn it, do you have assurance? Have you called him? Is he logging on? If he's online, you can log on, destinypackchurch.org, we are live now. Do you have assurance? Okay, who else? Sister Tega, you're married, do you have assurance? Say, Pastor, if I don't have uncle, after 8 years now, you know, it's possible you are married, but you're like, am I sure? All right. Okay, I want to ask any of them, what is the basis of your assurance? I don't want to call anybody in particular, but you can answer. So I can answer Bro Sunday and Sister Tommy or whoever, or Sister Tega. What's the basis of your assurance? Because if you ask Chioma now, that what is the basis of her assurance? I'm sure she won't say God told her. It's money. And what again? They have insured so many things for her and for the unborn baby, where the baby was not born then. And I'm praying that God will deliver sister ladies from greed. I mean Christian ladies from greed. And I think every Christian sister should go before the Lord and say, Lord, purge me of greed. Because greed is so subtle that it might be in your life and you may not know. And God will bring you some tests. You know, until you are tested, you don't know the stuff you are made of. And for information, brothers, be careful. That the sister is saying yes. Understand why she's saying yes. You will be shocked at what happens in church today. So, what's the basis of your assurance? Maybe I should ask sister. Maybe brother, I'm unsure. The sister. Let's celebrate all sisters or ladies in this place. It's not easy. I'm telling you, it's not easy. For most sisters, it's a risk. Am I right? But for a brother, I bet, let us go, John. All right, so what's the basis of your assurance? Don't worry, I'm putting you on spotlight. Don't worry. I told you, I'm not going to preach you. I'm going to do this together. I'm assured. I have assurance. What's the basis of your assurance?
God's word of peace.
Wow. Did you see that? Please, let's clap our hands together for her. God's word of what? That means God spoke peace to her. So it does mean that peace is one of the markers of assurance. Did somebody get that? Peace is one of the what? Philippians 4 verse 7 verse 6 say, be careful for nothing, including your relationship and marriage. Am I correct? But in everything by prayer, supplication. Maybe when that brother came, you were careful, you were anxious. Am I correct? And you remember Philippians 4 verses, you went to God and God said, be careful for nothing. So take it to God in prayer. Am I correct? Then verse 7 now says, and the peace of God that passes all knowledge or understanding will garrison, guard, To guard means to hold steady, to protect from whatever I want to shake it. She had peace, not because everything looks fine externally. She just had peace. The Bible called it the peace of God that passes all understanding. People are like, ah, this guy, you just have peace. So that peace is spiritual. Do you understand? You know what Joseph told Pharaoh in Genesis 41 verse 16. He said, God will give Pharaoh an answer of peace. God will give Pharaoh what? So when a brother comes to propose to you and you lose your peace, there's a warning signal somewhere. Don't lose your peace and say, because peace is one of the markers of assurance. Did you get what I said? The psalmist says, I will hear what the Lord will say. He will speak peace. He will speak peace. He will speak what? Alright, so let me tell you two types of peace. There is false peace, there is biblical peace. Because when I talk about peace now, some people have gone the peace way. Say, how did you say? I just had peace. I need to ask you, what kind of peace? There is a false peace. A false peace is based on the things that look so good on the external. Listen to me. If it is not a peace that passes all understanding, it is not the peace we are talking about. What do I mean? I call it an unexplainable peace. That sometimes when you come back to your senses, you want to give yourself a slap. Why do you say yes to this person? And when the Holy Ghost takes you over again, you are just at peace again. Do you understand? It must be a peace that passes all understanding. Because I'm saying that because in my interaction with ladies, they say, I have peace about it. So what kind of peace? I have peace. The guy is okay. I have peace. You have peace now. You have peace. So you need to decipher what kind of peace you are talking about. Do you understand? Is it a scriptural peace? The one that passes all understanding? Alright? Or is it the peace based on what looks good on the external? So conviction is important. And I want to encourage you young people, don't let any pastor, alright, or anybody talk you out of this issue of conviction. Because marriages are breaking at a very fast rate today. I'm telling you, sometimes when I talk, I can count four people. Young people, we know when 40-something, 50-something divorce, they've seen a lot for 20 years. So they say they know they do again. But somebody that married for 3 years, say I know they do again. 3 years. Because marriage is a marathon, not a 10-year contract. So if you want to sign a life contract with somebody, then your conviction must be based on something deep. We are not saying this to make you feel as if, but pastor, is marriage that very easy, about very that spiritual? Yes, it is. Because marriage never originated from us. Am I correct? It was the idea of God. And if it was the idea of God, we must follow the template of God. Is that clear to somebody? Let's move from this conviction. The second thing I want to talk about is compatibility. Say compatibility. Say compatibility. Somebody say, yeah, that's what I want to hear. I was expecting you to talk about compatibility. Aren't we supposed to be compatible? Aren't we supposed to be able to flow? Now, when I define compatibility, you know, when God said it's not good that man should be alone, am I correct? I will make him what? A help. One version says comparable to him. Or suitable. That word comparable or suitable is another word we can use as compatible with him. So what does compatibility mean? Compatibility simply means that the two of you fit each other as far as the purpose of God for your life is concerned. Compatibility means what? The two of you fit each other as far as the purpose of God for you is concerned. It means that you may not like the person that is supposed to be your compatible mate. Let me say this very quickly. You know, we can define compatibility on two levels. There is a surface level compatibility that a lot of us are used to. I like him. He's a party type like me, so we're compatible. Are you sure you are compatible? Oh, I like him. Anytime he prays, the whole roof is almost, he's always, and I like him. In fact, that's the way I also pray. I like him. Because favorite food is, what's Tunde's food again? Any type of rice. Amen. May you marry that kind of brother. She won't give you problem. Not the brother that will define the kind of rice. In fact, he will tell you that there are different types of jollof rice. Jollof, but different types. The one you will put, alright. So you need to marry somebody like me. Praise God. Or somebody like him. Oh no, not okay. He's also married. Praise God. Say any food. And that's why you don't like him. Say he doesn't even have a special food. Say any food. What kind of guy is that? That's the kind of guy you need now. Because God knows that you are not this meticulous. You cannot go the extra mile. So he gives you a guy that lies. So when you are in a social meeting, a meeting like this, and your guy raises, what's your favorite? Any food. Say, that's why I won't marry. I just say any kind of food. That's the person you really should marry. Amen. Not the one that will wake you up in the midnight and say, I need to eat pounded yam. Not the one that after you have labored over that delicacy and you are sweating, and you have said, God, my husband will like this food. And it comes back from where I say, as I am nice, Gary, and I just feel like drinking. You know, some people are like that. And you're like, okay, what's happening? Look at all this. He's not seeing it. Because it goes by what he wanted to eat at that time. But you need a man. Or if God gives you a man that, you know, he comes back from office, say, oh, what will you eat? Just anything. Don't too bad to be available. And you go and microwave some food and you give him and it's fine. That doesn't mean that microwaving any food is the best way to do your marriage. But in case God gives you that opportunity, that's, you understand? But what we now call compatibility, like I said, is all those things. He likes ewa goyim. I also like that kind of ewa. Alright? He likes sliced bread. I also like sliced bread. He likes Liverpool as a football team. I also like Liverpool. We are both Liverpool fans. Brother. Some people are marrying based on football fans. Yeah, we are Liverpool. In fact, some ladies have gone to woo a guy because of football club. Say that guy like Arsenal. Today I also join Arsenal. So she goes to buy Arsenal jersey. Alright, she's just rooting for Arsenal. You know, and another. And that guy said, this kind of lady, I won't have problem in my house. Because she's also Arsenal fan. Not the one that this one is Arsenal fan, this one is a Telemundo fan. So we are fighting over remotes. So somebody feels that, I like her, she's compatible, we are both Arsenal fan. Brother, a time is coming that you will not Arsenal anything again. No? How many of you know that as you grow, sometimes your taste will change? Some of you that are die-hearted or die-hard football fans today, in the next 10 years you may not be. Not for anything negative, but for another season of life you will be in. That when life demands and some other seeming more important things are thronging at you, you know you won't forget when Arsenal should play. So if you have married because of compatibility of Arsenal, and when that season comes that you are not a fan again, your marriage begins to have problem. But what compatibility are we talking about? I'm not saying are not important, but those are not the compatibility. Those ones can still be adjusted. You know, as a lady, you can marry a guy that is a football fan even though you are not. You just learn to adjust. Am I correct? You learn to stay with him 90 minutes, even though you are not understanding why, what is VAR? Why did they have to disqualify that goal? You are just coasting along, and that is fine, because what is binding you together is stronger than that 90-minute match. But if you are saying, because we are fan, if the real stuff in life come, that football fanship or fan whatever will not help you. Praise God. So what compatibility are we talking about? That God sees your uniqueness. God sees our uniqueness. And God sees the two of you fit each other. I make bold to submit to you that you don't even know who you are compatible with. Unless God reveals to you. I'm telling you. You don't know. A lot of you are saying no to some people that you should say yes to. Because you are not seeing what God is saying. Say, this person is too reserved. Me, I'm the outgoing type. I want somebody that will be outgoing as I am. And God said, you can be outgoing and you'll be a goner. So I'm giving you somebody that when you are, you know, so that's why you must not say, oh, this is my spouse, is too slow. It's too slow. And God knows that you are too impulsive. So he gives somebody that is slow to balance your impulsiveness. Because if the two of you are too impulsive, you can imagine what will happen. Think of what I said. This person is too, he talks too much. I just want to be quiet. Yes, you need somebody that talks so that when you are quiet, the person does the talking. So when God sees that you two of you can connect, so write this coinage down very quickly. Compatibility is not about similarity that attracts, but it's about differences that complement. Compatibility is not about similarities that attract, but it's about differences that complement. I'll say it for the last time. Compatibility is not about similarity that attracts, but it's about what? Differences that complement. Similarity is not about similarity that what? Attracts, but it's about differences that what? Complement. Can I tell you today, there are a lot of things that are compatible don't look alike. Am I correct? Now check the cover of this, the battery cover of this microphone. It's not exactly like this. Parallel in length. Am I correct? If you are an engineer here, the threading, this cover is different from the threading. They do them in such a way that they have different kinds of threading that when they put them together, they'll be able to enter each other. Am I correct? And if you check every other thing, the pen you are writing with has a cover. Most times, it's not the same way the pen looks like, that the cover looks like. But they did it in such a way that when you fit them together, they are perfectly fitted. So when you are looking for somebody that is compatible with you, ask God to show you somebody that has what you lack. That's compatibility. Ask God to show you somebody that has what you lack. Sisters, don't pray for brothers that has what you lack. Can I tell sisters say that are afraid or that are not that don't want to marry spiritual brothers because you I'm not the spiritual type. He might be the spiritual brother you really need though. Do you get my point? Say, you know me, I'm not that's why I believe that a career person can marry a pastor. But you know the mistake that career people make now? Me, I'm a mass communicator. I want to travel. I want to go. I cannot marry a pastor. You need a pastor, my brother, my sister. Or you may need a pastor. Because I'm a mass communicator, I need to marry a lawyer. So that the two of us will be in the same. You know, that's the mystery of marriage. You see the man, you see the woman, they are in entirely different. This one is a pastor, this one is something else. That doesn't mean that the person will not join in the ministry. But God sees that while this person is pursuing mass communication career, she needs a pastor in her life to supply what she will lack. Do you get what I said now? She needs a pastor in her life. And you are a pastor saying I must marry a woman that is pastoral like myself. God says, no, I will give you a woman that is a banker. So that in your family, you won't only be thinking spiritual. You need some, you know, bankers are practical. No, I'm telling you, a joke. So in case you see a pastor marrying a banker, it is not out of place. But you need a banker that has a heart for the kingdom. So that's why I'm not saying that a pastor say, I want to be a pastor, so I need a banker so we can be practical. If you have a banker and doesn't have a heart for the kingdom, you see not be. Do you understand? Everybody needs to marry somebody that have a heart for the kingdom. But in compatibility, God knows the person that will balance you. Let me tell sisters again, I'm speaking this by the Spirit of God. You don't want to marry a spiritual brother because you don't like this all this spiritual thing. God says to tell you, now spiritual brother you need. Is that not what we say? So, human definition of compatibility says, I am not a spiritual, I don't like spiritual, so I need someone that is not spiritual like me. You are not going to be compatible. You will find yourself in hell. And can I tell you today, in case you are in a relationship with somebody that is encouraging you to be spiritual, alright, you are born again, You have a heart for God, but you don't have a drive spiritually. And you have somebody, a guy that is encouraging you, don't break that relationship. He's the person you need. You know what, sister, now you say, his wahala is too much. He can't give me a breathing space. Okay, brothers, we need to do it with wisdom and patience. But sisters must not fight the person God is sending to their life to help them balance up. You know what? I can't say a lot of people, his wahala is too much. We must rise up to pray. And God wants to use him to balance you up in that area. But we mostly fight the people that God brings to our life to help us. And the other way around can be, you are a very hyper spiritual brother, and when you want to talk, this sister talk practically, or vice versa. Say, he doesn't have faith. He doesn't have faith. When God is speaking to me, I know God is speaking to you, but this person brings you to the realm of practicality. That is actually the person that is compatible with you, provided you both have kingdom hearted. Do you understand? Do you understand? So what is that C for successful marriage? Relationship and marriage? Compatibility. And in this case, compatibility does not mean similarity that attracts. Most times, similarity attracts. Most times. But you need beyond the similarity that attracts. You need difference that complements. Is that clear? But that's the idea of marriage. Differences that... And that's when you look at a man and a woman, they are different. Am I correct? Number three, because of time. Cancels. Somebody say cancel. Cancel. That's the third C. Ecclesiastes chapter 10 verse 10. Ecclesiastes chapter 10 verse 10. The Bible said it, verse 10b. If the iron is dull, what will happen? Then one, we have to apply more effort. But it said, wisdom is profitable to what? To direct. Now, there is this aspect of counsel that people don't take heed to as far as relationship and marriage is concerned. The Bible said, in the multitude of counsels, there is what? Safety. Now, what do I mean by counsel? Don't go about your relationship and marriage just with what you think you know. Do you understand? In fact, when you check the scriptures very well, like we're trying to quote during the discussion, when they asked Jesus about his idea about marriage, the first thing he said was, have you not read? Have you not read? Obviously, those people that were asking him those questions, they have not read. They are only facing the situation based on what they could see. So there is a place of counsels. There is a place of knowing beyond what you know. Counsels can help you identify a love affair that is not genuine. Like I used to tell people that, for example, if you have a pastor or a counselor, he's not emotional like you. But that's the reason why counsel is important. For example, as a businessman, you want to go for a deal. There's an excitement it brings. You need somebody that is not in that zone of excitement like you to think straight. You want to buy a shoe. And everything about that shoe, you can't, in fact, you dreamt about that shoe when you slept. And you're about to go. If I say, where are you going? I want to go and buy a shoe. What kind of shoe? Show me. You showed it to him. How much is it? And he looks at me and says, why not hold on a bit? That person looks like your enemy. The reason why you can't connect at that level, because it's not in your space. Are you following me today? It's not as excited as you are. Are you following me? It's not in the same emotional. A lot of things happen to us that determine the state of our mind and influences our decision per time. Somebody can say, I know they do again in this marriage because you think you have added to the brim. And you went to meet someone and they say, good, calm down. Calm down. Because he's not in the thing with you. And he's been able to see beyond what you are seeing. You are seeing a challenge today that your marriage cannot survive, but he's seeing a possibility tomorrow that your marriage can enter into. So counsel is important. And I want to tell us young people, don't go about your marital life without counsel. Alright? I'm too sure. One of the proof that you are very sure is that you are able to submit it to counsel. Somebody that has an authentic gold, is not afraid to bring it to the fire. Because the gold will make the fire will make the gold shine brighter. Am I correct? But when somebody says, I have a gold, this is very authentic. Oh yeah, come over, let's test it. No. It's too authentic to be tested. And then it is not really authentic. Am I correct? This conviction is too strong. Now, can I encourage everybody? Don't be afraid of counsels. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid of your parents. Don't be afraid of your pastor. Don't say, if I go and seek for counsel now, it's the other thing they will say. But that's our fear. Your parents are your friends. They are your friend. Your pastor is your friend. Whoever counsels you. What do I mean? They have your best interest at heart. They have your best interest at heart. And watch out when the devil keeps telling you, don't let him know. Don't let her know. Keep it first. When the thing matures. That's when people have been in the relationship for 2 years. Their pastor is not aware. Their pastor does not mature. The thing, I want to be sure that the thing don't set. So after it has set, what do you want pastor to do again? To unset it. You know, some people put pastor in a position where he can do nothing. I don't know if you get my point. Pastor, this person I want to marry, and then we've gone to see our parents. They've given their blessing. In fact, we are considering February 21 for introduction. And so, pastor, we just came to also see you in case you have something to say. What do you want me to say? And if you practice that, you are not a good church member. And you know, a wise pastor will really say nothing. Not because he doesn't like you, but because you have uncovered his hand. There is nothing he can do. Now, you all laughed about that scenario, but I've seen it played out in a lot of times. You understand? I've seen it play out. Some have even chosen their wedding date. But you know, these things have been going on for some time. I say, pastor, we are not sure yet. So you were sure, and maybe when you were sure, you picked the wedding date and you want pastor to bless it. Pastor will bless it because pastor has a good heart. He has your best interest. That's why I use the word again, don't be afraid. Because I know it happens to young people. Particularly when you're in a church that we preach about getting it right, destiny, you know. This one is it, get it right. I'm not even sure that I'm right. One of the ways to be sure that you are right to bring it to the person that God can use to clarify it for you. In Luke chapter 1, when Mary had the pregnancy of Jesus, or when the angel told her, you're going to conceive, she was like, wow, I've not seen what's happening. The angel led her to Mary, to Elizabeth. And immediately Elizabeth began to explain to her. In fact, what she never knew about her pregnancy, Elizabeth expounded to her. Expounded to her. So counsel is important. Is that clear? You need counsel even before you enter a relationship. There's nothing wrong if you are getting attracted to a sister. Go and tell pastor. So pastor will not make the mistake of calling the two of you out and use for example. I'm telling you. I say, hey, even pastor confirmed it. Go and tell pastor. And I think we need an environment in church that people are free to fail. Do you see that? People are free to make mistakes. I know most churches have been organized unknowingly in such a way that people are afraid of failing. So in a bid not to fail, they want to, you understand, they don't want to. Because somebody after all, last, I go miss him. My pastor will encourage me and say, go and pick another person. Is that not? But this one that you have this idea that once pastor that I miss, he will start looking at me. Somebody, that brother is not serious. All of us at one time or the other, we have missed it. If anybody ever tells you that he has never missed it before, you are looking at a liar. I don't know. I don't care who that man of God is. All of us are learners. Can I say it again? All of us are what? Learners. So we need that atmosphere in church that you are free to fail. How many young person can masturbate last night and come to church and report themselves to pastor? I say, Pastor, I have something to say. I masturbated last night. And they are that assured that pastor will receive them and cancel them in love. But you know what happened? When people masturbate, they want to hide it until the word of prophecy fetch them out. You don't need the word of prophecy. Even at that time, it's almost late. Do you understand? At that time, it's almost late. Is that not what happened in those days? You see a young lady get pregnant. She cannot walk close to pastor and say, Pastor, it don't happen, no. Do you understand? Even if you can't meet pastor, you'll be able to meet an older person in church, alright? An older woman, first wife, or whoever, and say, I just want to tell you that this guy I've been having an affair with, and in fact, you don't even need to wait until it results into pregnancy. When your body is doing you somehow, when you know you are falling for this guy, go and report. Let them balance it for you. Hallelujah. And if you want to enjoy the best of counsel, don't be put off by a no. Do you understand? Don't have this and that. There's no no. You know, whether you like it or not, in counseling, you have only to have a yes, to have a no, or to have a go and sit down. But some people, it is yes, they always want to hear in their life. I've had no's before. I've had yes. I've had go and sit down. Sometimes when the person says go and sit down, they look at you as if you don't know what you are doing. Yes. Most of us at a moment we didn't know what we were doing. Praise God. So counsel is important. So before, while you are still even not believing God for a relationship, you need counsel. While you are about to enter one, you need counsel. When you are in one, you need counsel. When you are planning your wedding, you need counsel. When you get married, you need counsel. When you become a grandfather. Is it possible that you need counsel when you are a grandfather? Yeah. I'm just saying that to tell you that nobody should outgrow counsel. Though it will be counsel at another level. Somebody will counsel you and give you insight on how to treat your grandchildren well. How to separate between your children and your grandchildren. Do you understand? Number four, because I'm running up in 5 minutes time. Number four, character. Character. Of all that I have said about compatibility, about this or that, character is a very important C as far as relationship is concerned. And can I tell you something? No matter how much you love somebody, don't downplay on character issues. Character issues of flaws reveal either of two things. Number one, this person is wrong for you. Or number two, you still need time for this person to overcome this character. The character flaws. So I'm not saying that character flaws means that that person is a no-no. In some cases, it can be. And in some cases, it can be that this person still take your time. Am I correct? And because somebody's character reveals how much work the person has with the Holy Spirit. Please write it down. I know what I'm saying. You know, we look at character on the surface. I say, character actually is not a function of temperament. Are you shocked to hear that? Character is not a function of temperament. Character is a function of, or is a proof of how much somebody has worked with the Holy Spirit. Say, Pastor, you are trying to spiritualize this thing. Yes. Because no, you can either have a character that looks like God or a character that looks like the devil. Nobody has a neutral character. Whether we like it or not, we are either becoming like God or becoming like the devil, whether we know it or not. So why is the question of character important in relationship and marriage? It's because fundamentally it reveals how much work the person has with the Holy Spirit. Why we are patient with people to develop character, don't overlook their character flaws. You know, I'm not patient with people. He has an anger problem. Let me read some scriptures for you. I will appreciate it if they can be projected on the screen. Proverbs 19:13. And it's somehow that quite a number of them talked about ladies. I'm sorry. Praise God. You can transpose it for guys to Proverbs 19:13. There was one that said, you better go and be staying on the top of a roof than to marry a contentious woman. Another one says, like a continual dropping on a rainy day. So is it when you marry an angry woman or something like that? Hallelujah. Sisters, you are wonderful. Amen. Because in my own study, I've discovered that a woman determines. I'm not trying to see, because I'm a man. Those are people who are going to come and talk now. He will tell us our own version. Amen. A woman determines how a house goes. Amen. Amen. I said amen. Amen. The man provides, leadership provides direction, but in most cases, the atmosphere is determined by the woman. Is that not what Proverbs, is it 24 or Proverbs whatever tells us? It said a wise woman builds her house. Praise God. I'm not being a feminist or whatever you want to call it. I'm just saying from my heart. I don't teach, I don't preach to side women or to there. Sometimes I preach it as if I'm siding women against men. No, I'm just talking about the Bible. Alright. Say, a wise woman builds her house, but the foolish plucks it out with her hands, plucks it down with her hands. A lot of us, our aged parents have successful marriages today. Not because the man is an angel. Am I correct? Even our unborn again parents. Did you get what I said? Do you get what I said? No, because the man is, some of you know I don't know your dad. My dad is late now. I don't know. Some of us, we have parents, dad, you know, if your mom did not cope, they wouldn't have given birth to you. And now you are 20 something. Mommy is still coping. I am not saying you should make your daddy your role model. As a guy, say after all, my mom cope. You may not have a woman that can cope like your mom. But I'm saying that most of those fundamental understanding that our parents had in those days, we don't have it now. Am I correct? In those days, you carry your load, go and meet your dad as a lady. I'm not doing it again. That same day, your dad will carry you and your load. They will take you back. Go and ask older people. Marry for 30, 40 years and above. But today, when a lady carries her bag home, they say, okay, you can sleep over. Tomorrow, I'll call your husband. In those days, you can't sleep over. I'm telling you. They will start calling the husband and say, what did you say for mommy? What did you do to my daughter? I'm not trying to say that men should behave badly, but I'm saying the stability that older marriages enjoyed, we give the credit to the women. I'm telling you. We give the credit to them. Some of them, when our parents or when the dads were misbehaving, some people, the dad had money. But he doesn't care for the family. He doesn't care for the family. But there's a demon in the father's house that is disturbing his life or he's been distracted elsewhere. But you see the woman. Hold up. I say, no, this marriage will work. Am I correct? She even uses her money, gives the children, and she'll be pretending as if it's a man that gave it. But in today's marriage, they don't mind that your dad, though. He's a stupid man. I'm saying that because I'm believing God that grace will come upon ladies. Because there is an awesome responsibility that God has given to ladies. Praise God. So I'm sorry those scripture talked about. You can write that in Proverbs 19:13. 27:15, 21:9. Proverbs 19:13, 27:15, 21:9 and 19. Then give me Proverbs 22:24 for men, so that you not think that I'm only talking about women. Give me Proverbs 22:24. You can write that down. Proverbs 22:24. Then the last one, Proverbs 25:24. He said, make no friendship with what? An angry man, and with a furious man, that shall not go. So he's talking about, I know that man can be woman too, but I think men can relate with this. Alright? Hallelujah. Can I say this very quickly? If you have a lady that is not loving,
put question mark on the relationship, because naturally women are created to love.
Do you know why God gave the command and said, husband,
love your wife?
Why didn't God give the command to the wife to love the husband? Because naturally a woman loves. So when you see a woman that is not loving, something is wrong somewhere. It can be a demonic interference, or it can be a woman that has been hurt. Do you understand? I don't know if you get my point. So you are a guy now, you see a woman that is not loving, not even to you now, very cantankerous, talks widely to everybody. It doesn't love, there's no womanly, you know, there's a way a woman does things. There is an atmosphere a woman creates. And you see that this woman, this lady you want to marry, he doesn't have that kind of thing. I am not saying that you should say you are not married now, but check, something is wrong somewhere. Sometimes it's the devil trying to invade her life. Sometimes it can be that she has been hurt. Sometimes it can be because of the model she had at home. So when you see character flaws in people, don't wave it off. It could mean that number one, God is not leading you, or number two, this person still has a lot of work that God needs to do in his life or in her life. And all of us are work in progress. So when you discover character flaws that needs to be worked upon, join hands with that person to ensure that it is worked on. Do you understand? She has an anger problem. Don't go ahead and marry. Work on it. Alright? Work on it. And not even anger alone, all kinds. Who can tell me other character issues that people can have? I have just one more point to give you, then I round up. Has it been worth the while? Alright? What other character issues can somebody have that will threaten the marriage? The one you know. Okay. Okay.
Negligence on our part. Okay. Nonchalant attitude.
Nonchalant attitude. He doesn't care, you know, and all that. Say, don't worry, I will marry like that. No. The fact that, of course, sometimes we cannot translate being reserved for being nonchalant. But even somebody that is reserved has some element of seriousness. I don't know if you get my point. God will give us understanding. I'm trying to balance it. So you will say, it's all reserved. That's nonchalant. No. Some people are not reserved, but they are still nonchalant. When are you going to feel that form? I will still feel it. And it will remain 1 hour. It's not disturbing everybody. The deadline. That's a question mark. I'm telling you. Someone that is impulsive. Collect a salary of 45,000 naira and he saw a phone of 38,000 naira and he bought it almost immediately. He didn't plan to buy. He went to buy. While in courtship. Say, after all, we are not yet married. I don't have control over his finance. You don't have control over his finance, but you should influence his character. So that he will not go and sell your house one day and say, I just felt that we need to travel to Dubai. You know? Who can tell me one more character flaws? It can be male, it can be female, it can be both. One more character flaws? Alright? Pride, yes. You don't want to marry a proud guy or a proud lady. That's why I say character is a proof of the work that we have all have with the Holy Spirit. That statement is very powerful. Because you want to marry somebody that has a walk with the Lord. Because the walk that person has with the Lord is your safety in the marriage. It's your safety. Who told Abraham to go and listen to his wife? Is it not God? You remember the story of Abraham, Sarah, and Hagar? Sarah was tired of Hagar because of the way Hagar was behaving towards Sarah. So Sarah said, Hagar should go. She leave the house. And Abraham said, no, she must not go. And while Abraham slept, God appeared to him. Am I correct? And said, go and listen to your wife. And she could go. He could go and say, okay, dear, what you were telling me is that I think Hagar should stay. That's the one man you should marry. Are you following me today? Obviously, you had problem. You had issues. But you were sure that when he goes back to God, God will calm him down. Did you get what I said? Who can give me one more? So you talk about pride, right? Don't marry a proud lady. Now, when Rebecca sighted Isaac, she was riding on a camel. Am I correct? She saw Isaac on the field. Alright? Bible says she alighted from her camel. She never met him before. That's why there's ladies who check out how much of pride that's in there. Because a lady that is not, and that's why I feel that God commanded women to be submissive. Because it's most likely that every woman will have problem with submission. Do you know why? You are asked to be an assistant to somebody that you can sometimes be better than. It takes submission to do that. Are you following me today? That you can sometimes be better than. Because whether you like it or not, you are better or you are not better, you are supposed to assist. At least in most cases. Just in very few cases that the man provides you, the woman provides the leadership, the woman backs up, the man backs up. So it takes humility to do that. So look for that. Alright? So somebody is raising his hand at the back. Okay. Bro Sunday. Okay. Just 1 minute because I'm rounding up now.
Okay. Nagging.
Wow, nagging.
Dirtiness and forgetfulness.
Ah, oh boy. Does that describe some ladies? Nagging? What does it mean to nag? I don't know. Maybe I forgot what it means to nag. What does it mean to nag? You know, you can let out your opinion. You can let out your feeling. I'm trying to balance so that you won't think that I'm saying marry a lady that does not talk. In fact, any relationship you have that the person is not talking is worse than the one that is talking. Because the one that is talking, you at least know what is in her mind. So you know what kind of help she needs. But the one that is not talking, the day she will talk. So that's why I want us to define nagging. That somebody always has a view may not always mean that she nags or he nags. So what does it mean to nag? To complain? Alright? Is that what nagging means in English language? I'm just asking.
He said persistently annoying or finding fault with someone.
Wow! That's what I love. Persistently annoying or finding fault in someone. You will not do that. I love that. Consistently annoying or finding fault. It's not everybody has fault. But if you are a fault finder, you are a nagger. Do I have fault? Yes. Do you have fault? So if you receive the ministry of finding fault, there's a problem. You know, the world is where it is today because of this. That's why I say love covers a multitude of sin. Marriages and relationships are issues today because nobody wants to stay with somebody that always finds fault. Can you imagine? You came to meet me and I said, you didn't do this thing very well. Tomorrow you came and said, you didn't talk very well. Next time I said, next time you sit like this. If I keep doing that, you run away from me. Exactly. So, who else want to make? Okay. I will give you one more then. Okay. I will listen to you after him.
Not accommodating.
Not accommodating. All right. Very good. Not what? Because a woman, I'm sorry if I say woman. A woman actually is created to accommodate. Do you know why? It takes a woman to accommodate somebody in her womb for 9 months. Let's clap for our ladies. Some of you don't know that 9 months, the thing no easy. And can I tell you today as a lady, you accommodate somebody in your womb for 9 months. Can't you accommodate somebody in your room for 9 hours? Because you are created to accommodate. The mystery about pregnancy, I am here to understand. I am here to what? You know what they normally say? When you should be coming, should be on me. When you are pregnant, you have swallowed a human being. And you provided an environment of care for somebody for 9 months. Can I remind ladies, you have that capacity. To now accommodate somebody for 9 minutes, don't look at it as a big deal. So that's an adjustment, and you must start taking note of that. Does not accommodate. When your friend comes to visit you, he's sending you a note. When is he leaving? How soon? And that's why I must remind our ladies again. I know it can be very inconvenient. And I know. Because, you know, there's a space of privacy that ladies want to have. But marriage or relationship, because when you marry somebody, you are not only marrying him, you are marrying whoever is connected to him. One way or the other. You are not marrying somebody that dropped from heaven. The person has friends. The person has parents. The person has siblings. I'm not going to the debate of should we allow mother-in-law or father-in-law. That's not my... I can't go to that today. Maybe in the evening, maybe tomorrow morning I'll talk about that. But that sense of accommodation is important. So when you discover that in your woman, you need to talk about... Somebody talk about dirtiness also. Is it true? Are some ladies dirty? Are some men dirty? Yeah! In fact, most men are dirtier than women. True of us. True of us. And you know, most ladies overlook that. They enter the guy's room. They are the one helping me to pick his boxer from the floor. He say, "Ah, Shegu, Emma, pick dog. Signal name. Don't you are not the one to start coaching him." Do you understand? He leaves his house on care for 3 weeks because you have given him advance notice that you are coming in 3 weeks' time. So once you come like this, the first ministry you receive is ministry of sweeping. Collected brooms, started sweeping, and you are happy. Say, ah, you say, I'm a good woman. You are a bad woman. Ah, I'm a good woman. Hey, you are sweating. You are doing all that. So dirtiness, everybody should deal with dirtiness. In fact, you are not qualified to marry if you are not successfully single. Marriage is not somebody making up for your lapses. It's somebody helping you to get better. So as a guy, if you don't take care of your single room, or room and parlor, wherever you are staying, don't think that when you marry. Can I tell you that people marry for different reasons? Some people are looking for house help. That's why they marry. And you know that kind of marriage, the woman will do everything in the house. She'll fetch the water, she'll iron the clothes, she will do laundry, she will cook, and all that. Some marry because of sex. And that's the wrong counsel they've given us. So if your body is doing giz, you better go and marry. You have said that it was said to them in those days. If your body is doing you, what I say unto you. If your body is doing you giz, don't go and marry. Find out why the body is doing giz. Solve that giz. Because when you marry, the giz will not stop. So if you marry because your body is doing you, because of sex, you will see that woman as a sex object. If you marry because of procreation, your mother has been disturbing you. When am I going to carry my own grandchildren? And you get married, you will see that woman as a human being production center. Do you understand? People marry for different reasons. When you marry, because you need somebody to take care of you, buy you makeup, buy you this one, buy you that one. As a lady, be able to afford your own makeup kit. Do I have witnesses? Hey, pastor, what are guys for that? You know, some guys buy makeup kit, buy this one, pay salary itself. How many ladies are receiving salary from your fiance? I'm not saying occasional give. I mean, you know, some every month, 10K. I have had a lot. You know me, I get to get some of this information because of meetings like this. And if you are the third that you are collecting salary, you can't resign now. That's why it's difficult for some people to break a relationship because they have sold themselves. I'm talking from experience. They have sold themselves. The guy is paying salary, doing this one, this that one. So even if you want to leave, your conscience will be biting you and say, ah, this is wickedness. Well, it's not wicked. That's why I don't collect. Put some value on yourself. Alright? That might mean that you may not live as comfortably as you would have loved to live. That's the price of singleness. That's the price. Some ladies now, they have to change their hairdo every week because the guy is responsible. But what if no guy is responsible? You may have to manage one hairdo for 3 weeks. And you are able to cope. Even though your mates are changing their hair every three days, do you know where they are getting the money? Praise God. Alright, so you need to be successfully single, alright, to take care of yourself. You are not marrying so that somebody can take care of you. If you are married because of that, you'll be a liability. Some people are married to settle down. No wonder once they marry, they have reached their bus stop. No growth spiritually, no growth in career, no growth in any other area because marriage is their goal. May marriage not be your goal. Is that a good prayer to pray? May marriage not be your goal. Because marriage was never created to be our goal. Marriage is a means to an end, not an end in itself. Listen to me, marriage is not an achievement. It is what becomes of your marriage that can be an achievement. You know, some people now, they can't wait. Once they, they will now upload their wedding picture for 1 year. One per day. Marriage is beautiful, don't get me. Wedding is beautiful. Marriage is beautiful. Alright, but it's not an achievement. It's not a means to an end. It is what is your marriage is fulfilling that is most important. Okay? I think that's alright. Okay. You wanted to ask, add saucy. What does it mean to be saucy? Permit me that I'm doing as if I don't understand grammar. What does it mean to be saucy? To have vibes. To have bad response, to always pick up on anything, particularly not so important thing, any small thing. Things that other people can overlook. Sisters, you will overlook some things. I know of a woman that the brother-in-law bathes in the toilet, in the bedroom. Maybe they have one bedroom. And there are soap splashes on the wall, and she wants to take a bit. What should you do? Take water and spray it and clean. Know what she would do? What's your name? John. Brother John, please come outside. I want to see you. Go and clean those soap. That's a woman that is saucy. Overlook it. And that's why I say that marriage sometimes will bring some of those inconveniences. Really. I'm telling you. Of course, look for a neutral time to explain. That doesn't mean that you should be collecting nonsense. In fact, actually prepare to collect nonsense. But find a neutral, it must not be at that time. Find a neutral, or tell your husband, please help me tell your brother. And once you tell him once, the next time you should tell him again, it should be in 3 months' time. Not that next week again. Tell your brother. And after 1 week, tell your brother, there's a problem somewhere. So, okay, thank you. One more thing I want to say is commitment. Please write it down. That's the last C. This to me is about the most important C, commitment. Most relationships and marriages are started on a note of excitement. But whether they will continue or last, excitement must give way for commitment. Do you understand? Excitement must give way for what? Excitement must give way for what? How many of you that you were in a relationship, you were excited when you started? Of course, excitement will continue. Don't get me wrong, but you need beyond the excitement. Am I correct? Commitment simply means we will stick to it. Commitment, they say in my language, it means we will die there. Have you heard that slogan before? Will die there. If you are not ready to die, when I mean die there, it doesn't mean that the person will be abusing you and killing you. It means that you have made up your mind that this is it for life. Commitment. Commitment simply means we'll do all it takes by the grace of God to make it work. Because relationships and marriage don't just work on their own. In fact, when you see anything that is working, somebody is working it. Am I correct? Oh, I know you admire all of those Instagram. Let me not use Instagram. All those marriages you see, maybe online or even in the physical, even people you know, that, this thing, I love it. But please, it didn't just happen. Somebody or some people were making it to work. So commitment says, and that's why the strength of commitment is conviction. You cannot be committed more than your level of conviction. And that's why we still go back to the issue of conviction. Because if you are not convinced, you won't be committed. Conviction is important in everything in life. I'm into full-time ministry, I'm here. And somebody says, Pastor Mola, I love your commitment. Why shouldn't I be committed? Because I know I'm supposed to be here. I'm supposed to be here. And I want to speak over your relationship by marriage. It will work. Do you know why? It is designed to work. It is designed to what? It is destined to work. Stand to your feet. Hebrews 3, verse 4. Verse 3 and 4. I want to round up so I can go to answer. Then when I take some questions, then we round up. Have you got it something? Say it will work. So I think before anybody start relationship, he or she needs to ask herself, will I do what it takes to make it work? Or am I ready to give what it takes to make it work? Am I ready to give what it takes to make it what? Hallelujah. And the question is, what it is that we encourage you in your relationship? Because commitment too will require sometimes, so what do you think it will require? So in commitment, you are saying, I will give it what it takes, not what I want to give it. You get what I say? Some are prepared to give it 100 naira and it will take 10,000 naira. I will give it. I'm not talking about money now. I'm using money as an example. Hallelujah. I know of a very young marriage today that is, I'm not saying divorce because I'm praying that they don't divorce, but they are separated for over 2 years now. And before they separated, this brother kept saying, Pastor, and this sister is not a devil. Good sister. Congratulations for some of you that have very high expectations for your marriage. But sometimes when you marry, the expectation that you have may not be met immediately. It will take time. Because this brother has a very high expectation. I want to talk to a campus graduate. You have a very high expectation. We will fulfill destiny. But brother, when you enter marriage, you will know that destiny is our goal, but other matters will come up that we want to affect the pursuit of that destiny. Commitment, we say, no matter what, we'll give it what it takes. So we kept telling this brother, I understand how challenging it is. Please, continue. Ali, you were sure God brought you together? Yes. What's not happening? Let her go and sort her life. When she's through sorting her life, she come back. Why? He was not ready to give it what it takes. That's commitment. You know, I don't know. I don't have a position yet on this matter. Some churches have edited this aspect of better, for worse, for richer, for poorer. Say, Pastor, what is your position? I don't even have a position yet. Pastor, if you want to wed me in this church, will you put that clause? I don't know yet. But I will likely put it. Because those who put it there, it's not as they don't understand positive thinking or positive confession. Is that not? You think they understand, but they are telling you what marriage actually is. But that's why be careful of all this new generation. I'm a generation pastor too, but I have some native wisdom. So I want to warn you that for richer and richer. In health. Somebody can hold that up and say it was for richer and richer, we said. We didn't say for richer and poorer. That doesn't mean that you will be poor. But actually, that statement is a statement of commitment. What it means is that even if our finances go south, we are in this together. If you are not ready to make that commitment, don't go into marriage. Because that is the way we have been brainwashed now, that ladies now. See, that some people have not packed out of their marriages, but they have gone down. They are just saying, so the vibe, the commitment, the respect that you go into is not going there again. They have not packed out, but they have packed out. So commitment. You give it what it takes. You give it what it takes. I've heard the story of a man that resigned his job when the wife got paralyzed. The woman needed somebody because she couldn't do nothing for herself again. And of course, the man has achieved something. The family can be self-sustaining. But he has some goals to pursue. But he has reached some. But he said, his wife is paralyzed. He resigned his job and start wheeling her wife. Driving her on wheelchair everywhere. The woman said, no. Say, no, we are in this together. We didn't bargain that you become paralyzed, but now that you are paralyzed, it's our problem. We will carry you together. You know what another people do? They will go and marry another wife. particularly when they have not given birth. That's why if your goal for marriage is childbirth, or reason for marriage, if your wife does not give birth immediately, or even at all, not your wife in Jesus' name, will you still be in the marriage? I hope you know that the goal of marriage is not to give birth, it's to fulfill destiny. We will give birth when and if that childbearing has a contribution to our destiny in God. You know, there are some people that are not giving birth to God in the sight of God, it's not a problem. We are the one that consider it a problem. But as far as God is concerned, for those people, it's not a problem. Did you get what I said? So, understand commitment. So, look at that. Say, for every house is built there by an angel. Huh? I love the way this scripture is one of the most powerful statements in the Bible. Every house is built there by what? But he that builds all things is God. How does that sound to you? Yeah, I appreciate God. Your marriage is just fantastic. Now God do. But listen, it is built by somebody. Am I correct? Oh, I love the way your ministry is blossoming. Now God, yes. But God empowers some people to build it. God does not come down to build. Oh, your CGPA is smiling. I wish my CGPA can smile like that. Now God. God empowers somebody to go to the library, to go to night class, to go and study. Am I correct? Oh, I love the way your husband is loving. Now God do. But God empowered the woman to be submitted. Praise God. I've said over and over again that you can submit to a point that your husband does not have choice than to love you. And you can love a woman to the point that she doesn't have choice than to submit. So the way to help an unloving husband to be loving is not to be nagging. It is to submit prayerfully. Except if the devil is at serious work. But if you, because our problem is that I will not submit because he's not loving. That's not the Bible. The Bible says submit. Don't mind what he's doing. I'm telling you what the Bible says. Man, a counselor may not tell you this one. Say, why should you keep submitting? He's not loving. Your job is not to submit because he loves. You keep submitting whether he loves or not. Then I say, guy, you keep loving. Lover, every cantankerous, nagging, dirty lover. There is something about you fulfilling your role that makes that person to say, he's wicked or she's wicked. How can I be doing like this to a woman like this? Something must be wrong with me. Praise God. By your prayer. I will entertain three questions, then we'll round up. Did you get something? One prayer you want to pray, Lord, my marriage will work. Whether you are married already or you are in a relationship. Not even in relationship, but hoping to marry one day. Can we make some deposit of prayer into our marriage? Say, Lord, my marriage will work. My marriage will work. Every seed that the devil has sown into my marriage, to make it not to work, Lord, by your power in this meeting, let that seed be destroyed. My marriage will work. Finally, receive grace and wisdom to build your marriage. Some of you singles, building your marriage does not begin when you are married. It begins now because you are the first building. You are the first building. Before you start building a home, build your life. It is when your life is built that you transpose that to your marriage. Lord, I receive grace and wisdom to build my marriage, to build my life, to build my marriage. Thank you, Father. Finally, pray and say, Lord, my relationship and marriage will pass the test of time. My marriage and relationship will pass the test of time. Somebody said the time of test is the test of time. My marriage, my relationship will stand the test of time. Give me grace to commit in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. We thank you. We give you praise. The Lord is clarifying things for us here. Some of you are in a relationship. You know you are supposed to be there, but some things are still not clear to you. Receive grace for clarity.
Even for those who are married, receive grace for clarity. Because you cannot perform better than your understanding. Today we receive grace for clarity. In the name of Jesus. For those who are in a wrong relationship, Lord, use this weekend to clarify it for them. Thank you, our Father. I stand as a servant today. I release upon this our grace for marital success. We receive it in the name of Jesus. So shall it be. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Alright, sit down. Entertain question for three, then we go. This evening I'm going to be discussing some powerful stuff. You don't want to miss it. This is just an appetizer. Praise God. We're going deep into this. I'll be teaching some of us on how to manage your emotions. Alright? You're married, you're single, you need to understand that. Praise the Lord. Alright, do we have questions? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 1, 2, 3, just three, max three. Question one, alright. Let me enter two, good. Questions. Three, alright. Three. Who else again has questions? Alright. So let's start from our brother. And then that should be all for now because we need to go. We are coming back by 5 p.m. And in the evening, like I said, we also have time to pray and to connect God for our relationship and marriage. So let's listen to our brother. Tell us your name, then your question. Our refreshments are blessed in Jesus' name. So you can take it while the meeting continues. All right, I listen to your question.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
My name is Kome. I don't know. Let me start from somewhere.
Okay.
Now, I'm an extrovert, if that's what people call it. At least I talk a lot sometimes. So, you have this person as a friend.
Okay.
And you talk, you crack jokes and everything. And finally, you say, oh, let's start something. And finally, you start something. You pick the call. You pick the phone to make a call. And for over 2 weeks, nothing is coming out from your mouth. I don't know if you understand what I mean.
Yeah.
We are good as friends. But now we are doing something that's, you know, beyond the friendship level. And now we'll see each other. We can't say anything again. What? Is it that something is wrong at this point? So that's just the issue.
So that means your problem is not that you don't know how to talk.
No.
But when it's time, that's why you began by saying you are an extrovert and all that. All right. Okay. Okay, let's listen to the other question very quickly. We're rounding up shortly. In the next 10 minutes, we should be out of here. All right, let's listen to our brother.
Thank you very much, sir.
All right.
I'm really blessed with the message.
Yep.
To ask, we talked about compatibility.
Yeah.
I want to ask that there are so many things that are attached to it. What is the true test of compatibility?
The true test?
Like the acid test for compatibility.
Okay. Acid test for compatibility. Last one. Okay.
Thank you, sir, for this teaching. My first question is,
okay.
Well, if you have a guy,
okay,
there is always Mr. Right. Never wrong.
Okay.
And you talk about spiritual leaders, or going to meet your spiritual leaders. If your spiritual leaders tell you that this is the right person for you, but you have never have this conviction that is the right person, what can you do?
Is that the second question?
Yes.
Okay. Second
question.
And
you don't want to be rude.
Okay.
And in a situation when you have a burden on your head and you inform your spiritual leader,
okay,
and he went on to announce it on the altar, what can you do? Should you leave that church?
Okay.
Stay in the church.
I hope he's not a demon. Okay. So when you have a spiritual leader, that should be the last one. You raise your hand too. You raise your hand too. Don't worry, any question we can answer now, there will be questions, answer session for evening session too. So, but you make it brief.
All right.
So in case you are still there, you have questions, push it to evening. And on Sunday, tomorrow morning, DIC's Relationship and Marriage Interactive Service, I'm going to preach. Who do I entertain questions from us and all that? So,
sir,
if you have enough
time.
Okay.
Is it a problem to be able to relate with other people? I mean, very well. But when it comes to that person,
okay,
it seems...
That person, which person? No, I need to know.
Okay, okay. The person, either the person you are in a relationship with or you are attracted to, it gets kind of tough.
It's almost like our brother.
Next.
All right. All right, let's listen to the next person. Give it to him.
Thank you very much for this.
You're welcome.
I have two questions, sir.
Okay.
The first question is, in a situation whereby there is a kind of closeness between a brother and a sister, and they have a kind of signals that this person is, they love each other, but just as the theme of this program says, love is not enough. But the sister have to go meet her spiritual father, and he told her that the brother is good, he's okay, but they are not compatible.
Okay.
So in that kind of situation, what should the brother do? And the second thing is, both of them, they do talk very well. They can talk for like sometimes 30 minutes, an hour and all that. But this brother discovers that because of the closeness between them, he has this kind of mind, free mind. He always talk freely about anything he's going through. But the sister is kind of a bit reserved. Although it's a long distance something, but you notice...
See the same person, Abi?
Yeah, okay. Same person. But you discover the sister is not that free when talking, unlike your brother.
Okay. Last one. Our sister.
Thank you very much, sir.
All right.
My question is, what happened, or what can we say is the cause of... a kind of relationship that, okay, let me start like this. Before you go to get close, like, you don't care whether this person existed or not. So, but when you now, when you get to know each other, you started as friends, everything was going on fine, but all of a sudden, you just, you discover that there is a difference, like, personally, there is a difference. So, question coming up: like, what is happening? But you are peace in the spirit.
But when peace, okay.
In the spirit. But when it comes to the happenings around, is something else.
Okay.
And this person we are talking about, when you are not with the person. Okay. You are okay, you are fine. But when it comes around, it's as if clearly. So,
all right.
What happened?
Because I'm seeing those three questions almost aligning. But let me try and pick a question from this angle. There is a mystery of how do I put it now? There is power in not knowing somebody. The person you don't know at a close level, you have this positive vibe for. Can I shock you that the people that you admire at a distance, when you get close to them, you might have to rethink the basis for your admiration. That's one burden of closeness I've got to tell you. And I think it plays out also in marriage. But I explain this mostly in leadership. All right. The moment you begin to get close to somebody, number one, you begin to have this understanding that this person is not even as powerful, is not even as whatever as I thought. Am I correct? Has it happened to somebody? So it presupposes that one must be able to manage the reality that that closeness has created. Maybe it also plays out in relationships, like you are married, like you said. The person, you are like, wow. By the time the person now starts going out, because you didn't see much. From a distance, you've only seen the good side from a distance. Alright? But when you now get close, you start seeing some other things.
Now, that might not be the basis for saying maybe you are wrong. It's just a reality that must dawn on you. That people are sometimes different when they are closer than they really are when they are. So the question you must now ask yourself is, am I making my choice for him based on what I've just seen or based on the conviction I originally had? I want to say that those realities that come out during closeness does not always have to be bad or negative things. They may just be reality of the humanity of that person. Do you understand? I don't know if you get me. I'm not saying that when you now get close, the guy even smoke, I didn't know. Or the guy drinks, I didn't know. I thought he was a fiery brother, but nah, that one, there's a big question mark. But that you are now close. And you begin to see some things that are like, so these guys can be this, look at the whole plate of feba that he puts in his front. But when you see him in church or in lecture theater or at work, he looks like a brother that is always fasting. So you must be able to manage that reality, really. In fact, it's not even real yet. Get to marry. Am I scaring you? No. But I've got to tell you, when you get to marry, the realities you will see about the person you want to marry, no matter how you think you are close or in courtship, you really are not close. For most people who are courting, they have not slept together before. Only Christian people. Am I correct? You don't even know whether he or she snores. You don't know. Except if you have found yourself around where he is sleeping or she's there and you are hearing. But when you now marry, wow, this person is snoring. What will you do? Oh, I know they do again. That's why you need to ask yourself, what do I marry? Is it somebody that does not snore? Or somebody that God has for me? So if you marry based on, I want somebody that does not snore, then you want to break the marriage. So when those realities come, you go back to your conviction, like you said, peace. Particularly if it is not a negative, sinful bit or sinful manifestation. Is that clear? Have I answered it? Somehow. The summary of the answer is that some realities will dawn on you when you are close to people. Whether fiancé, fiancée, wife, husband, pastor, member, even friends, and whoever you think you are in a relationship with. So, you just have to allow your revelation of the why of that relationship to be superimposed on the human flaws that you now discover based on closeness. Is that clear? And please don't listen to people that says that, I love everything about my wife. It's a lie. Okay, I like everything about my wife. It's a lie. I like everything about, the reason why I'm saying that is, the reason why some marriages have problems is because most pastors, I use pastors and they are not real. I'm telling you. Neither am I saying that. How do I put it now? What actually led me to this is that don't listen to man that says, I just like everything about my wife. If he says he likes everything about his wife, it may mean that he grew to like everything. Not that when we got married, A to Z, I just like everything is a lie. Even if God gives you an angel to marry, the mere fact that you are coming from two different places, different background, different personality, you will not always like everything. But the proof of maturity now, personally and in the relationship, is that you grow to like it. I don't like the fact that she's too reserved. But with time, you grow. So if a 40-year-old, people who are married for 40 years says, I like everything about my wife, I can believe it. It started. Be as a result of how much they have grown. Now, for brothers who are having issues with talking when they get to the person, let me pray for you. Father, in the name of Jesus, I command every spirit of dumbness to disappear in Jesus' name. Lord, like you did to Moses, give your children grace to speak in the name of Jesus. Alright, I want to explain it in two ways. Number one, you are not that could mean a restriction, that God is saying there's a no-go area. Then number two, it could just mean that the hype, sometimes I'm dying to meet now in this person. It can happen. So, but you now need to push through if you are sure. Alright? That this person, what I've been thinking or about him or her is real. Then talk. But that you are clueless. Maybe you don't even know what to say. Maybe you have even rehearsed. the proposal. Happened to brothers before. I've counseled people that they say, hey, Alpha, have you not proposed to her yesterday? I said, no, Pastor, I just got to her place. And in fact, there are some that once they get to a place, they change the topic entirely. Alright, in most cases, it's a signal that God is saying no. In most cases, at least based on my experience. Then number two, if you do, you know God is not saying no, then you just have to man up. And let me have a shyness. It could be shyness. It could be that I would just call it you are shy. Not that you are naturally shy, but you get to that person's friend and just push it out. That's the time to act. Amen. Praise God. Then the sister that said that you are close to these persons, but pastor says you are not. Well, you want to ask, you are not compatible. No, okay. The brother is free, but the sister. Who asked the question of close to somebody, but the pastor says you are not compatible? I thought, okay, you are close to the person. Pastor says you are not compatible. Pastor don't see the two of you together. Eh? Okay. 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 That our pastor said. Maybe he has gone to pray. The brother need to ask his sister, what are you saying? Because it's not your pastor that will marry for you. Neither am I saying that you should go ahead. Don't listen to anybody based on my pastor said. Because that same person, to whom the pastor gave a go-ahead, and she's not convinced, she will marry based on my pastor said. And then, so you'll be marrying her and the pastor. Because when issues crop up, she'll say, Pastor, what are you saying now? Alright, so my encouragement for that person is, let her develop her personal conviction. Then if she's convinced, she should invite the brother over, let his pastor meet the brother, and let them clarify things. Understand? But obviously, if it's your pastor that really knows you, pay attention to what the pastor is saying, alright, but develop your own personal conviction too. So no pastor should develop conviction for you. The best that pastors do is to confirm. And even if some pastor knows that you are wrong, most pastors will not tell you outrightly that you are wrong. They want you to go and pray more and discover for yourself that you are wrong. I don't know if you get my point. So I think I should round up. You have a brother that is always never wrong. That is never wrong. You have a brother that has a problem. Alright? Because everybody will always be wrong one time or the other. So it could mean that the brother has an ego problem. Of course, a major character flaws. Then it could also mean that the sister is not posturing correctly. In as much as ego is a problem or is a negative, but ego is not always a negative. Every man has an ego. And it doesn't mean that's what makes you a man. But when you are married and the way you present matters to your husband is always to let him know that he doesn't know what he's saying. Obviously, we always posture as if he's never wrong. Even though in his heart, he knows that he's wrong. So you may need to know how to present matters. But even if you present it the best of ways, maybe a third party even comes and intervenes and he's always saying he's never wrong, then you have a problem in your hand. It's a major character problem that needs to be dealt with. So don't rush ahead into such a marriage. Take time and let God work on the brother. Let him understand that. You know, in marriage, we submit to one another. Ephesians 5:21. It's not every time that it is the sister that we always submit. There will be times that the brother has to submit to the sister. Just the way Abraham submitted to Sarah. Why? Because Sarah had a superior argument or superior point. Not that Sarah was superior to Abraham, but because what Sarah was saying was the best that they should do. Do you understand? Okay, you are not following me again. I know our time is fast spent. Somebody say, okay, your spiritual leader tells you that somebody is right, but you are not convinced. No spiritual leader should tell you that somebody is right. I know it's not all pastors that have that understanding. They always say, even, you know, that sometimes you know that somebody is right for a sister or for a brother. You still keep it. Let her go and pray and be sure. Do you understand? But if you tell her that it's right, and this person says the person is not saying it that way, tell the pastor with humility, sir, I still don't feel like it. Maybe you should give me more time to pray. Don't be rude to your pastor, but let him give you the privilege to pray and get God by yourself. Is it clear? The last one. I think I'm done. Just one more. Acid test for compatibility. Well, acid test for compatibility will come as you... well, there are two kinds of tests I want to give you. There is a test that will be based on what God tells you about the person. Because the person that God is choosing for you, he knows that you are compatible. You may not just know. Do you understand? Then when you now get into the relationship, you won't know how compatible you are as until you continue the relationship. You start seeing things connecting. That's why I don't view it on a surface level. You are in a relationship for 3 months or 2 months. You are like, we are not compatible. Who told you? With time, you start discovering, no wonder. With time, you get to know. So the artist test for compatibility is time. Then maybe the first one is revelation. When God shows you this is the person for you, you are compatible. Alright? Then as time goes on, as you begin to relate, you begin to understand other areas of compatibility. Let me see on the very last note, that in as much as I'm saying that surface compatibility is not the big deal, it is equally very important. Alright? When I mean surface compatibility, he doesn't like to go out, I like to go out. He doesn't like beans, I like beans. Those small, small things can also break a relationship or marriage. So you also need to work on that too with wisdom. Do you understand? I don't know if you get my point. Surface compatibility is the roomy type. He loves to stay in the room. Me, I love to be in the parlor, watch the TV, fill the entire house, move up and down. So how do you do it? Well, let her give her privacy, let her stay in the room. And if you want her, go and meet her in the room. And when you are married, do you understand? So you work it out. He doesn't like beans. Me, I like beans. Cook beans for yourself alone. Cook another food for him. You understand? He doesn't like sliced bread. Me, I like sliced bread. Buy two types of bread. Sliced and unsliced. You can always work that out. But you know, if God helps the two of you to so much connect, a time is coming that even on those surface matters will become compatible. But that one will take time. You know, it's the people say that, me, I don't like beans, so it is this man that makes me to start liking beans. Have you had that before? Because with time, because you have so much, you are connected on a higher level. So all those surface levels will be easily dealt with. I don't know if you get my point. Me, I'm not the one that goes out, or if not for this man, now I'm going out now. You are compatible now. Do you understand? Lord will help us. Did you get something this morning? Let's bow our heart. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for your children that have heard this word, and as many who are watching online, I receive grace that all that we have learned will make use of them. None of this will stand against our homes and marriages, but we stand for our justification. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Now, if you are here and you have not made Jesus the Lord of your life, or you came to this program because you felt, let's come and enjoy relationship talk. This is the best decision you can ever make. You know, we're talking about conviction, talk about compatibility. All those things cannot be achieved outside of God. And I want to give you that opportunity, maybe the next 10 seconds or 20 seconds. You want to say, Jesus, come into my life. I know I'm not born again. Be the Lord of my life. Direct my life. He doesn't just want to direct your relationship or marriage. He wants to direct your entire life. Make that your prayer if you are here, or listening to this message anywhere in the world. I receive you into my life as my Lord and my Savior. Help my life, direct my life, direct my relationship, and so shall it be. Father, as many who have made this prayer on ground, online, listening via tape, I declare that they are born again. This word will help them to live a successful marital life, and so shall it be. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. God bless you. Thank you for your time. In the evening, by 5 p.m. or some time of sharing, prayers, and of course, time to ask and answer questions. The main Pastor Kemi will come, share with us for some minutes to be a blessing, so that it won't be Pastor Demola's perspective alone. Alright, so I'm sure you'll greatly be blessed. But tomorrow morning in DIC is a special.
We We know that this message has been of tremendous blessing to you. For information on how you can get more of our messages and ministry materials, or how you can partner with us to bless more lives all over the world, kindly visit our website www.destinyimpactchurch.org or call the following numbers: 0803-832-8650 or 0809-462-8743. Thanks, and God bless you. Destiny Impact Church, empowering in destinies. Jesus is Lord.